Thank you, Holy Spirit.
We give you praise, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, you may be seated. God bless you. Share the word of the Lord briefly. Tonight, I want to share with us a very, very important aspect of our walk with God. An aspect of our walk with God that so much of the kingdom depends upon. I'm going to start in a very simple fashion, just to make you personalize the things I'll be sharing tonight. Sometimes we get so explosive because of the anointing we sense, or because of the energy that is upon us or in the building, and people don't really understand the weight and the depth of the emphasis that the Lord is communicating. And so this evening, because of the pertinent nature of the subject, and of course the necessity of you being carried along, I want to try as much as possible to bring this home so you can relate with it at a personal or on a personal level. That's when it will really, really, really make a difference in your life as an individual. There is a kingdom that the Lord has called us to advance. We are not just here for ourselves. The Bible said you are no longer your own. You were bought with a price. And the Lord has procured every one of us because there is an assignment and there is an agenda that He has in mind. There is a purpose that He wants you to play a particular role in order for that purpose to be corporately achieved. This is why we gather together, to equip ourselves from time to time with the word of the Lord, to ensure that every one of us becomes eternally relevant in the agenda of God. And so tonight I want to talk to us on the subject of spiritual maturity. And the pathway I want to route is the path of process. I want to talk to us about the classes in the school of process. Because for you to be mature in this kingdom, you must pass through definite spiritual processes that will refine you and equip you to come to that point where God can depend on you and entrust you with the kingdom. Maturity is a scary thing in the spirit. The reason is because maturity has to do with responsibility. You know, when I was a younger person, maybe a little lad, as simple as having my bath, they had to bathe me and dress me up. But when I became mature, I had to take the responsibility of bathing myself. So there are many things God wants you to have, but there's a level you get to where God will no longer pamper you with those things. God will expect you to walk into those things. That's where maturity comes in. When you start walking with the Lord, you discover maybe some time ago when you were sick, somebody, God will send you somewhere or send somebody to pray for you and you'll be healed. Now you are becoming mature in the things of God, and then you have as simple as headache. And then 4 or 5 people pray for you and you are not healed. And then you are wondering what's happening to the healing anointing. There's a level you are in your walk with God where God will expect you to receive healing by the anointing of another person. And there's a level you get to, God will want you to exercise your faith to enter not just into healing but divine health. Because at this point, He's not just interested in healing you. At this point, He wants to use you as a weapon of healing to fight against sickness in a territory. And if He continues to heal you by the anointing of others, you may never grow. So when you are sick, people pray for you, nothing happens. The Holy Ghost is directing you to a scripture. And then sometimes you sit on that scripture, you meditate on that scripture for a whole day, it will not work. I remember some years ago when I was on campus, I had this excruciating migraine. And everybody I believed in was anointed, prayed for me, and I would not get healed. So the Lord gave me a scripture. I meditated on the scripture until healing was not coming. I now heard the story of a woman that put the Bible in water and drank and got healed. So I took that page of scripture and I dipped it into water. I spoke in tongues and I drank it. Nothing happened. After a while, I had to go take paracetamol because the headache was killing me. And then I told God, I will try again. You know, and we continued the journey like that until a point comes where no matter what comes your way, you become like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. But these things don't happen overnight. You have to grow into it. I remember some years ago when everything I needed, I had to beg to get. I had to beg for literally everything. And God wanted to train me on walking in abundance. And he told me to begin to give offering with 100 naira. And I was on campus. I think I was in 100 level. And I'm telling you, these were times when sometimes for 2 weeks, all I had was 100 naira. How do I start giving 100 naira, which is all I have sometimes in 2 weeks, and I have 3 services in a week? How do I survive? And the Lord will say, give me 100 naira. When I saw that it was heavy, when I want to go to church, what I do is, the cloth where my money is, I will remove it and hang it somewhere, and wear another cloth and go to church. Because I could not imagine how I would start giving 100 naira. It wasn't feasible. But God was teaching me a path. He was teaching me, taking me on a journey to come to a point where I will no longer have need for my personal things. What he want to do with me will be global and transgenerational. And he will need me to come to a point where my faith will be able to abstract resources to a point where I can sponsor by the Spirit global mandates and agendas, that agenda that was transgenerational. But it took a process. At first, you run away from it. When you come back to God, it will take you back to where you stopped. Sometimes, you think God has forgotten it. Then you now come into a prayer meeting. And then they are praying. And then you go high in the Spirit. When you go high in the Spirit, then God will remind you where you and him stopped on the journey. You need to go back and start again, because you can't jump classes here. If you will become what I want you to be, you must grow. And when you grow, you will discover that everything depends on growth. The moment you grow, you will now realize there are many dimensions of God that have been allocated to your destiny and to your life, but they are waiting for different phases of your maturity. If you get there, these things will begin to happen naturally. See where we are today. A day will come when the president of this country will come for our meeting. It's not a prayer point, it's a function of growth. A day will come when, before we come for meeting, people will be lined up in wheelchairs for us to finish the service and lay hands on them and they will walk. But now, if we like, we should do advertisement on every platform, they will not come. Because it doesn't take advertisement for these things to happen, it takes growth. You may waste all your money on advertisement, go to TBN, you will announce a healing service. At the end of the day, people will come and say, I had chest pain, it was gone. I had back pain, it was gone. You will not see one clutch or one wheelchair. They are waiting for you to grow. When you grow, the moment they hear you are in town, they will come on their own accord and they'll be waiting for you. These things are allocated to different dimensions. It takes growth to get there. So as a people and as individuals, we must pay the price to grow, and it must be a conscious and deliberate thing to do. This is one of the greatest secrets in our kingdom work. That everything God has to offer is allocated to different phases of your growth process. And when you grow into those phases, those things become a byproduct. Jesus himself had to grow. Because there was a point in Jesus' life where they had to run with Jesus for him to survive. And an angel had to come in the night, take the child, Jesus, and run to Egypt. If not, he will die now. And if he dies now, there will be no salvation. And they packaged Jesus in the night and ran into Egypt with Jesus, the Savior of the world. This is a man that salvation depended on. But salvation is not feasible until he grows. And when he grows, these things will become natural. John the Baptist had to grow. The Bible said in Luke chapter 1 verse 80, it said the child John grew in favor and in stature with God and with man. This is a child that Isaiah prophesied 800 years before he was born. 800 years, he said, I saw a voice crying in the wilderness, make a way for the Lord. And to make things palatable, before he was born, the angel Gabriel stood in the temple and began to prophesy his birth. A child that was prophesied by a prophet
a cherubim had to come to announce his arrival.
Nothing could happen with that child until he grew.
Jesus, the Son of God, in Luke 2:40, the Bible said he grew. He didn't just begin to walk in the fullness of his ordination because he's Jesus Christ. And if Jesus did not walk in the fullness of his ordination because he's Jesus Christ, you too must grow to walk in the fullness of your ordination. It's a burden in the heart of God that too many people that the weight of his kingdom depends on are not growing. And so these things affect the seasons and the calendar of God. Because there are many things God wants to do today, but it takes a quorum of mature believers to pay the price to bring those things down. And when it comes, our quorum are usually depleted because men are not growing. It's a burden in the heart of God. So growth is a necessity and it's a must, because too much depends on it. So we thank God for what he gives us, but we will not stop at just receiving. We will grow. He said, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The moment the son is given, he said, the government of this world shall be upon his shoulders. Everyone must grow in order to bear the government of the kingdom. You are not irrelevant in God's kingdom. If God is not doing great things with you yet, it's not because you are disadvantaged. It's probably because your maturity level have not come to that point where he can entrust you with those things. If you pay attention to growing without manipulation and canvassing for any form of support, these things will happen naturally. Even if there were warfare, you will still break through, because growth will necessitate it. And so there are 7 classes in the school of process that the Holy Ghost have taught me. And I want to share with us this evening. I hope we are able to exhaust it. But if we are not able to, wherever we stop, we will pray from there. You know, last week I wanted to share with us certain things that have to do with stature, but we were caught up in the middle. I pray that today I will teach for a while before the energy in my spirit becomes too high. The first class in the school of process, which is the journey of maturity, is the class of encounters. Christianity is not a theory. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is divinity manifested through human vessels. What will give stamina to your foundation and make you go through every phase of your development is the texture and the quality of encounter that you have. A man without encounters is a man that will not journey far in the kingdom. When you become a believer on the strength of stories, you will meet things that will undermine the stories you have heard. And you will come to that point where conviction will become the only tool that will keep you standing. But the depth of your conviction is a function of the nature of encounters that you have had. If you study through the scripture, you will discover every trailblazer in scripture began with an encounter. And the same applies in every facet of human endeavor. I was told, and I have read before, that life is a history, is the story of what leaders did and did not do. History has nothing to do with followers. It's always about leaders. And before a man comes to a point where he becomes the head of the arrow, there are encounters he will have that will make him journey through thick and thin in order to pass through the valley of death to manifest where there is abundance. Encounters are the deciding factor of the texture of a man's witness. When you read through scriptures, from Adam, the first man, his journey with God began with encounters. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 8, the Bible said, in the cool of the day, the voice of God came walking in the garden. And that voice was the one maturing Adam from one phase to another. So Adam did not just appear in the garden and started being creative. Everything Adam represented at the level of his maturity and the strength of what he could do was a function of that voice that came in the cool of the day to speak to Adam. Without encounters, there can be no conviction. And without conviction, you cannot make the journey to the end. Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 to 3, God wanted him to be the father of many nations. He wanted the whole children of the earth to be blessed by Abraham. But the only way he could activate that protocol of development was by encounter. He said, the Lord appeared to Abraham and he said to him, get thee out of thy country get thee out of thy kindred, get thee out of thy father's house, and come to the land that I will show you. He said, in blessing I will bless you. He said, all that bless you shall be blessed. All of this journey began with encounters. Without encounters, a man can't journey. Christianity is not a story. Christianity is a reality that everyone walking in its fullness today know like he knows himself. It's too real to him that even if he intended to deny it, he can't. Because the encounters will make him 1,000 times liar. When a man has encounters with God, it becomes difficult for him to deny his faith. No matter what he goes through, even if he laments, he can't deny it anymore. The encounters will become an imprint on the tablet of his heart. Those are the kind of men that can journey with God through the pathways of life and bring witness to the things of the Spirit. When a man has no encounter, he can't journey far. I will emphasize this again and again, because somebody will insist until he or she sustains an encounter potent enough to bear the weight of his destiny. In Exodus chapter 3 from verse 1 to 5, the Bible spoke about Moses. The man was burdened about Israel, but he took an encounter for that destiny to be activated. He said, and Moses kept the sheep of his father-in-law until he came to the backside of the desert, even Horeb, the mountain of God. And he said, there he saw a bush burning that was not consumed. And he said, I will turn aside to see this great sight. That was where the journey of Moses' life began. Meanwhile, this man was already 40 years old. That means when it has to do with destiny, your chronological age is not a factor. It is the age where your encounter began that your destiny comes from. Because you begin to walk in the direction of that encounter. A 40-year-old man meant nothing in the agenda of God. But the moment the encounter began, the destiny journey began, and the scribes began to write. You will notice that when you read about Moses, there was nothing about him until he sustained this encounter. They only told us how he was drawn out of water and how he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Nothing to be written. But the next 40 years after that encounter was littered with divine engagement that was so potent that a whole generation and a whole tribe of people was delivered. How come the second 40 years was too significant to be compared with the first? The divider was an encounter. The moment an encounter came, his life changed. Everything about him changed. He became a god among men. God himself called Moses a god. In Exodus chapter 7 verse 1, he said, behold, I have made Moses a god unto Pharaoh. When did Moses, who is also contending for the office of the Pharaoh, became a god to Pharaoh? Because an encounter made the difference. He became another man. If you study 1 Samuel chapter 3 from verse 1, the Bible told us in those days, it said the voice of God was cast. There were no open vision. No wonder Israel lost stature. Israel became a slave among her enemies because encounters were lost. There were no open visions anymore. And suddenly in verse 4, God came calling a young boy. There were many experienced priests, but they could not bring deliverance unto Jacob. It was a young lad that knew nothing that God started speaking to in the temple. Samuel! And he said, here I am. He didn't know a journey had begun. And if you read verse 21 of that same scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Bible said the Lord appeared again to Samuel in Shiloh. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And in verse 20 of 1 Samuel chapter 3, he said it was known unto all Israel that God indeed had established Samuel as a prophet in Israel. What was the difference? It was an encounter. He didn't read a storybook. He met a spirit. And the moment he encountered that spirit, something changed about his life. I'm telling you how men become great in the kingdom. There are many things you will learn, but there is a sequence and there is a protocol that your life must follow after in order for you to be relevant. If you don't have encounter, you will not even appreciate service. You won't know why you came. You will think you are helping somebody. But when you have an encounter, even where you are serving, you will know it's unto God, because you will know you are in the school of process. The reason many times people are offended is because they've not had encounters. So when they are walking in the house of God, they think they are supporting somebody. They think they are doing something for somebody. It will take an encounter to teach you the things that cannot be taught by writing. Those things will be ingrained in the tablet of your heart. Samuel! He said, here I am. and suddenly a journey began in his life. These are trailblazers in the kingdom. We read the story of Gideon. The Bible said he was disenfranchised, and he felt so tired and angry. He was so offended at everything happening. All there was about Gideon's life was lamentation. If you say you are a God, why are we where we are? How come we have become slaves of the Midianites? Some of the things you are lamenting about, you think God will come and answer you in a classroom. His name is called God. What that means is that he owes nobody no explanation. And when you get to eternity, you discover you are wrong. You know, some atheists will come and say, if God is God, why is this happening? Why is that happening? It was Reinhard Bonnke that told us the story. When an atheist asked him, he now said, come. He went out and he saw a man with a bushy hair. He said, are there barbers in this city? He said, yes. He said, if there are barbers in this city, why is this man said bushy? If God is real, why are all of these things happening? Because he's God. When you have the opportunity to question him, you will faint 1,000 times. When you wake up, you will forget. That's when you realize you wasted your life. The guy was lamenting, and an angel appeared to him in Judges chapter 6 from verse 11. And see the way the angel saluted him. Thou mighty man of valor. Me, mighty man of valor. Your greatness will be locked. It will take an encounter to unlock it. You don't know that you are a deliverer. You sat down in fear. When an encounter comes, suddenly they will introduce you the way they know you in heaven. Because you came to earth as a seed of eternity. And some of you today looking about, asking for direction. In heaven, you are a prophet. You only came to earth and got dislocated from the possibilities of destiny. When an encounter comes, it will realign you to who you are from Zion. And when they looked at him, they say, you are not weak, you are not disadvantaged. Your salutation in the spirit is mighty man of valor. Could it be that you are supposed to be a healing evangelist and you are dying of sickness? Could it be that you are supposed to be a revivalist and you are dying in sin? It will take an encounter to open you up to the full weight of your ordination. Then you will begin to walk as a different man. You entered there differently, but you came out as a different man. Did you not read about Jesus? They knew him as a carpenter. But when he mounted the mountain, he came down. He was no longer a carpenter. Instantly, the salutation changed. A carpenter went to the mountain. After an encounter, he came down. They said, the land of Zebulun. The land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan. Galilee of the Gentiles. The people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. What was the migration from carpenter to great light? It was a divide. Called an encounter. Somebody will receive an encounter that will change you from a beggar to a sustainer of nations. Amen. You are not too small for anything. It takes only an encounter to unlock you. And you'll be shocked that you who saved in 2021 from January to December and you ended up with 89,000. In the first 3 months of 2022, an encounter can come and you will know what to do. And in 1 month, you will become a millionaire. And they ask you, what happened? I encountered the spirit. The moment it happens, things change. This is why men must journey into maturity. But where it begins from is an encounter. Encounters will make a lot of difference in your life. In Jeremiah chapter 1 from verse 4 to 5, he said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. You have the power to uproot kingdoms and to plant kingdoms. Meanwhile, the guy was being marginalized. He didn't know that he is somebody that can speak and a whole nation can be uprooted. What? Where is that authority hiding? It was hiding on his mountain of encounter. When the encounter comes, the man who is running away and looking for safety can suddenly command nations to be uprooted, and it will be uprooted. And you wonder, what happened? Encounters. They are too important. Paul was a mighty apostle. But he didn't even know his left from his right. The church that he was designed to build was what he was fighting. Today, 14 out of the 27 books of the New Testament were written by Paul. Almost everything we know about foundational doctrines, Paul wrote them. Without the writings of Paul, the church would be depleted. Meanwhile, this guy was fighting the church, collecting letters and entering different cities to kill everybody that believes in the name of Jesus. How can a man be walking in a wrong direction with so much zeal? I said before, I said, if you are in the wrong direction, speed is not an advantage. You are supposed to be going right, and you are running on the speed of light towards the left. Every progress you make is a disadvantage. He took an encounter for him to be reoriented, and he realized that his energy and capacity was being dissipated wrongly. Suddenly, Paul became one of the mightiest of the apostles. And in Galatians chapter 1, from verse 15, he said, when it pleased God to reveal his son in me, I conferred not with flesh and blood. I went to Arabia. He said, the gospel that I preached, I wasn't taught of any man. It came to me from heaven. Encounters had redefined the life of Paul. Encounters had redefined the destiny of Paul. You may be a businessman, because this has nothing to do with being a preacher. It has everything to do with your own line of destiny. You may be a businessman and you have been struggling. When you have an encounter, the level of wisdom and influence and favor you will tap into in 1 year, you will be amazed what you would achieve. And then you are wondering, were all of these possible? They were possible. But it took an encounter to take you there. And it's not just for male or for men. In Luke 1:35, like every other virgins in the city, Mary was also a virgin. But suddenly, an angel appeared to her and said, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And she said, he didn't have Jesus though. He now said, how shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. See, many things about your destiny you are asking, how shall these things be? When an encounter comes, they said the Holy Ghost will overshadow you. God said you are going to be a governor, and then you are asking, I don't know any politician. You don't need to know any politician. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, he will put favor on you so much so, maybe you will just read a story and people will hear and say, this is the next governor. The politicians you are laboring to find, they will begin to find you. Israel was in captivity for 430 years. And suddenly the Bible said, God gave them favor before the Egyptians. And he said, they spoiled the Egyptians. They took gold from Egypt. They became so wealthy. Why? Because something happened to them. A man that carried the encounter appeared in their vicinity. And people that were slaves suddenly received favor. How can your own master come and say, take my possession? Something changed. And so every believer must pay the price to receive an encounter for destiny. When the worship is going on, it's not about the song. You may not know the song, but the Lord is traveling. The procession of the king is in that song. So forget about the kind of music you like and find the movement of the spirit, because that may be the part of the service that will minister to you. It may be during the prayers. We take time here to pray for long so that the spirit of men will open. It's not just when the apostle comes up and is talking. The apostle may come up that day and he will not have the word of the Lord for you. The word of the Lord may be with the prayer man. And when the prayer is going on, God is throwing scriptures like bullets. That's when your encounter may come. And so when you are in the worship, your pursuit is to hit something in the spirit. Something that will minister to you and change the coordinates of your destiny and empower you to walk in the direction of the fullness of your destiny. This is the basic emphasis that we sustain when we gather together. That men will meet Jesus, not the preacher, not the singer, not the person praying. It is always about encounters. How many services have we attended without having a definite encounter? Maybe because we were distracted. When the prayer was going on, you say, Kai, wait, when will they start the word? And the word came in the prayer. When the worship was going on, he said, oh God, which songs are they singing like this? Where did they learn them from? What tribe is that? It's not about the kind of song. It's about the spirit that is powering the song. Now, for you to have an encounter, there is something you must sustain. We call it a body. So when a man wants to grow and want to enter the first class in the school of process, one thing he must master how to incubate is a body. Many people are bought burdens. When God put a burden or a hunger in their spirit, they choke it. Some people come for a service. 7 days ago, they were weeping because God was heavy upon them. The moment they leave that service, 2 hours later, everything dissipates. Because they didn't know that that thing that happened to them was to summon them to the presence where they will encounter God. The major spiritual ingredient that makes a man sustains encounter are the burdens that are on his spirit. Moses, the Bible said, he was in Egypt until he became dissatisfied. He was in Pharaoh's house. He was a prince. They bathed him in the morning. Everything he needed was at his beck and call. But suddenly, a burden crystallized on his soul. And he was no longer happy that the Israelites were in bondage. This burden was the pathway to the encounter that would rewrite his story. He didn't understand how burdens work. Burdens don't provoke zeal. Burdens actually provoke intimacy. But when Moses received the burden, he ran out of the house and started killing Egyptians. There are millions of them. You can't kill all of them. And what you need to know is that even Egypt, God is interested in the men of Egypt. Because today there are many evangelists from Egypt. So if you slaughter the people, you are not doing the counsel of God. What that burden necessitated Moses to do was to go and seek God and sustain strength and strategy on how to come deliver Israel. Many people have burdens. Instead of taking that burden, taking them to God's presence, the burden moves them into activities. Burdens are not to provoke zeal for activities. Burdens are actually, true burdens are designed to provoke hunger for God's presence. So when a man wants to begin his journey in destiny and growth, what God crystallizes on his soul are burdens. Burdens that lead him to seek God and to find his face. The moment he presses and administers that burden, a point will come when God will appear to him. Meanwhile, it's important for us to note that an encounter is not necessarily a light shining from the wall. No, that's not what we are saying. We are talking about the reality of God coming so heavy into your realm that you now interact with it experientially. And sometimes you will discover that this encounter may be God appearing to you. This encounter may be a scripture fired into your spirit, and the scripture can't leave you anymore. This encounter may be a man sent to you to tell you something about your destiny, and it resonates with your spirit. You know, the list I gave you earlier, you will discover that Adam's encounter was not with a person. The Bible said the voice of God came walking. Samuel's encounter was not with a person. It was the voice of God and the word of God. So encounters are not about a cloud appearing in the sky. Encounters are about God making himself real to your heart. It can be by the instrumentality of a scripture. It can be by the instrumentality of a song. It can be an appearance of an angel. It can be an appearance of God. Whichever way God decides to route it. What encounters do is that it makes God and his realm become real to you. But what will make you to journey to that place where God can become real to you are burdens. You may go for a meeting and you receive a burden for souls. You may go for a meeting and you receive a burden for a territory. You may go for a meeting and you receive a burden. Don't go and waste it on a movie. There are many times when you need to, don't just off the television, disconnect all the cables in your house, tie them and go and throw in your wardrobe so that somebody else cannot own it by mistake. There are seasons where you may need to off your phone and throw it away. There are seasons where you will cut off from some friends. You will cut off as if you quarreled. You will off your phone, or you will put your phone on flight mode. The reason is because a burden has surrounded your spirit. And you know, the atmosphere of a burden is a provoker of encounters. And burdens are like pregnancy. In the first trimester, if you want to be full of activity, you will miscarry. And because you don't want to miscarry, you will guide that burden jealously. People will look at you, they will think something is wrong. You are pregnant with something. It's called a body. God has put his hand heavy upon you, and he will not let go until a strategy comes, until an encounter comes, until a word comes into your spirit. If a man can pay the price of securing and nurturing burdens, after a while, something will appear to him. And when that happens, he will build sufficient conviction and direction, strategy for destiny. It is as he walks through the path of destiny that he truly begins to grow. Because when you are journeying in the path of destiny, you are not just maturing as a believer. You are also receiving the equipping necessary for your destiny. It will affect your menu. It will affect what you eat. It will affect what you drink. It will affect the company you keep. Did you read Judges chapter 13? When the angel appeared to Manoah's wife, he said, from today you can't drink any strong drink. So even if that woman is your best friend, if you have an event and she happens to come there, she won't drink. He will say, no, Kai, our friendship, we have been friends for 30 years. It's not about how long we have been friends. I'm pregnant with something. And if she violates it, things will go wrong. So you don't just grow on this path by maturing as a believer. All the equipping for your destiny comes to you. When a man sustains an encounter, then he receives the first deposit of God actualizing his destiny. When this happens to you, then you go to the second class in the school of process. The second class in the school of process is a class of instructions. You know why God will give you instructions? Because if you take off without instructions, you will run away from the journey. He knows, he has been there before. You know, when God appeared to Moses, he had to calm him down first and give him definite instructions that will make him go and succeed. Because when you see the rot of Pharaoh, you are wrong. God appears to you and say, go to Sanfara. You now say, the next thing, you make a message. You say, no prophet is going to Sanfara, but where has come? The first day you are approaching Sanfara, you will see that they beheaded 7 preachers. That you will start shaking. You will go, you will run away in the night. I went to Mina for a meeting, and then they showed us an auditorium. The pastor didn't sell it. He packed his load, and the load, his wife's, his children, packed all their luggages. They ran from the city in the night. He didn't bother to sell the church. No, anything that happens there should happen. The man ran for his life. Because you don't know the vengeance that awaits you in eternity. Because when you say, thy kingdom come, it's a declaration of war. Because what you have done is that you are saying, whatever kingdom it is that was existing here, I uproot you and I bring a new one. The keepers of that kingdom will not just smile at you. They will fight you with darts and arrows. They will fight you with a lot of weapons that if you are not careful, you discover you are not created enough for them. You will need a lot of instruction to walk in safety as you prosecute destiny. So when a man passes the class of encounter, the next class God takes him to is the class of instruction. In Exodus chapter 13 verse 17, the Bible says when God delivered them from Egypt, he did not take them through the way of the Philistine. He said even though that was short, he said he allowed them go through the way of the Red Sea. Because if they go through the way of the Philistine, he said they will meet war and they will run back. God knows that without instruction you will be vulnerable. There are most of you here, God told you he wants to raise you as a seer. Your eyes have not even opened yet. You have printed a card that you are seer, prophet A and B. The spirit will now say, okay, we heard the signal in the spirit that God wanted to raise a new prophet, so you are the one. They will come with cancer. Meanwhile, you have not been equipped. Because the devil can perceive some things, but he doesn't have the exact information. That's why when he came to the garden, he said, did God say? So they are hearing that there's a new season in the spirit realm. God wants to raise new apostles. God wants to. They have not even ordained you as a deacon. The next thing, you appear online as an apostle. They will say, okay, this is one of them. And they will come with chisel. They say, I want to raise merchants. I want somebody that will raise 12 billionaires. You have not even asked him how. You now appear and say, the billionaire's mandate has been born. They will not say, so you are the one. The next thing, they will raise battles against you. They may not even go out. It's from church that they will kill you. There are many doctrines we need now to deliver the body of Christ. Some people started preaching it 3 years ago. The doctrine is not wrong, but the season have not come. And the moment they preach it and they heard it, pastors stood up with spear, bows and arrow and shot them down. Today they are not even preaching the normal message again. You need definite instructions That's where you learn patience from. You will wake up in the night, the anointing will be burning in your hand. Your hand will be shaking like this. God will say, wait. You will come for a meeting, the man is preaching, you turn left, you see an angel standing. You are wondering, why didn't the preacher see this angel? Somebody passes, you are hearing everything about the person's name. You are hearing the person's details. You are moved to stop the person and say, your name is matter. I saw that last night you had a dream. A demon appeared to you. God will say, keep quiet. You will not be wondering. Because if you jump, you will die. So God, we want to equip you with instruction. Many people have genuine encounters, but they didn't journey through the class of instruction. They violated that class. So from encounter, they appeared in glory. And in glory, they are destroyed. Not even warfare. It's in glory they appeared. They are cut off. Because after encounter, you must go through the class of instruction. When you go through the class of instruction, you will see the hand of God. You know, in Isaiah chapter 48 from verse 21, he said they trusted not why he led them. He cleaved the rock and he brought water for them. And he said he spoke to the mountain, he gushed out waters. When you are following instruction, God will allow you some mercy drop. You will not lack. But what you need to do is to keep your vessel and wait for matching orders. Because what God wants to do is mighty. Sometimes God puts a mantle on your life, but the person who is handling that mantle is still alive. And that mantle is the mantle of a gatekeeper. You will be activated when the person leaves. And God, the person still has 3 years to go. So you now wake up with a genuine encounter, but the mantle has not yet been transferred. You don't know that you have to travel with Elijah and cross the Jordan before the mantle will fall. You are on the other side of Jordan. Elijah is still alive. He has not been taken. And then you start proclaiming things. You will die. This is why people don't mature. Some people die serving God. And they are wondering, Lord, are you not a just God anymore? God is just. But they violated process. They violated certain classes. And so because they violated those classes, they became casualties when principalities came into the game of war. Because they didn't know how to fight. God had not taught them enough, but they went into battlefield. When you have encounters, you will go through the school of instruction. In Psalm 119, from verse 97 to 104, David began to teach us the advantage of going through the class of instruction. Can you project the scripture for us? He said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all day. Next verse. He said, thou through thy commandment has made me wiser than my enemies. You see what instructions do. Before your enemies plan, you are ahead of them. How did you get so wise? Through thy instructions, you have made me wiser than my enemies. For they are ever with me. Go forward. He said, I have more understanding than my teachers. This is how we fight in the kingdom. The fathers of old, they fought the battle, they stopped at a level. I can assure you that we will know more than them. But they will go first. So there are many things that God will graduate us gradually. The reason is because, take for example, during their time they were fighting poverty. So their heaviest doctrine was prosperity. They were fighting sickness. Their heaviest doctrine was healing and miracles. Now we are fighting terrorists. So beyond prosperity and healing, we must teach people by location and translocation. They don't know it. You see why I said, I'm wiser than my teachers. When we begin to teach about the glory land and by location, they may look at it and say, oh, this is not heresy. The reason is because we are fighting a different battle from their battles. Meanwhile, it would be wrong for you to now come and say, the fathers are wrong, they know nothing. They operated at the level of the battles that was allocated to them. When they came on the scene, there was poverty, there was sickness and death. So God equipped them with revelation for prosperity and healing. Now we have come on the scene. We will not leave what they have done. We will carry it along. That's why we honor them. Somebody said, you say you are a holiness preacher. You say you are a preacher of alignment. Why are you now endorsing those who preach prosperity? I say, well, I don't have the stature to endorse a father. That's number one. They are bigger than me. So if I mention a father, I'm not endorsing him. Because I don't have that stature. Number two, there's nothing wrong with prosperity. When we preach, we only stand against materialism. But the Bible said, my kingdom through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. Number two, Jesus said, give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed together, shaking together and running over. He said, the measure you give is the measure with which you will be given. So even Jesus preached prosperity. We have nothing against it. And so when we reference them, one, we are not endorsing them. They are the ones to endorse us. Number two, we will not dishonor them because we need what they carry. Have you not seen this man? They come for a meeting and they preach for God so loved the world. And then you see cripples rising from wheelchair. Cripples, 10, 20, rise in one service. We are preaching potters. We are seeing angels. Yet the cripples are not rising. Because it's not just revelation that makes it happen. It's a mantle. And if you dishonor them, you will not have that mantle. Your revelation will be correct, but you will struggle. This man stand, they are ministering to 100,000 people in one service. It's called impact. You have all the revelation. Sometimes you don't have 300 people in your service. Because these things are mantles. They are influences in the spirit. So no matter how accurate we think we are, we will still honor them. That's why when we call somebody's name, we don't say go and follow them. We only tell you this and this is how they blessed us. So it's honor and recognition to mantles. But we are also aware that what God wants to do is ahead of their dispensation. And so David is saying, through the instructions we secure through encounter, he said, we are wiser than our teachers. You see where we go? Because if you don't have these encounters, no matter how you follow them, you will stop at their level. But the battles you will fight is beyond what they fought. Because some of them will soon go home. We will still be here for another 50 years. The days when God calls all of them back and we are the only people on the scene, if all we know is what they taught us, we are finished. Because aliens, I can tell you by revelation, aliens are coming into this world now. Aliens. We are not just fighting with men. I can tell you that gates are being opened in Hades. Some frogs are jumping out of hell, coming into earth. Princes of darkness are coming to bring directions of wickedness that men have not seen. Beyond just faith for healing and prosperity, we must have faith. Faith that even the fathers have never heard of. The day we come when a church in the place of worship, we leave the auditorium and go and worship somewhere else. We will journey to galactic dimensions and have fellowship because of what God will want us to do on the earth. A day will come when men will walk out of auditorium and you will see ancient patriarchs go out with them. And you are wondering, how did they come here? It's a dimension of fellowship. Maybe their own fellowship is about singing and dancing. And when they praise God, healings happen. Our own fellowship will be greater than singing and dancing. When we fellowship, we will experientially love with spirit of just God, not perfect. There are depths of fellowship we will enter that they will not know. But it will take instruction to attain that level of wisdom in the spirit. That's why beyond the encounter, there are instructions that God wants to bring to you to open your hand. You know, David said, my God teaches my hands to fight and my fingers to war. He said, by my hand, I broke a bow of steel. You don't know what steel is. There is a dimension of strength that the guy entered because his fingers have been guided. It takes instruction to walk in superlative powers that the earth don't know. These are the secrets of God. That's why I said the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenants.
Thank you. If you come late for a fellowship meeting like this, you will not have seat. Not because people have crowded the auditorium, but because angels and patriarchs of all will be seated before you come. And so you will sit on the chair and fall down. And I will discover, because you come late, every opponent has saturated the auditorium. You come later. You will come to be there, but glory will go late. Because our fellowship will move from the people of men. It will be an intergalactic fellowship. Witnesses of heaven converging with witnesses of earth.
When you leave such meeting, nobody will be talking about him. Because if you come with cancer, it will die on its own accord. Because of the weight of glory that will come into the auditorium.
A point will come when you carry the mic, you can't preach. Because the Lord Jesus himself will be the preacher in that service. And when you walk towards the altar, you will go down. Everybody that climbs the altar will go down. You say, what's happening? The monarch himself has entered the auditorium.
What's happening? Somebody will be playing the keyboard and an angel will excuse him. Just step aside. Because heavenly procession is about to invade the earth. They will excuse the guitarist. And when we worship like this, the sound will leave the auditorium. Those who are in the bank, they will start hearing the worship in the bank. Those who are in the schools will start hearing, because
It will be resonance effect. Territories will begin to merge. That's how we will take over the government. That's how we will take over the academia. That's how we will take over. We will not take over by human intelligence. There will be mystical, heavenly and celestial dimension. That's what church is. A fraternity of men and immortals. You have been called into a fellowship that is eternal. It's not a joke. Where we are going is far. That's why we need to be taught. So we will know what we look for. My goal is not crowd. There are too many people gathering everywhere. I want to enter a meeting and come with angelic entourage. If I talk to 10 persons, they should scatter a city. They should take over a city. You leave a fellowship, the next day you go to work, people are falling under the power because of the energy that rested on you from that meeting. You leave a meeting, you go to the market, people are slain. Not because you sang a song. A weight fell on you. That's what God is doing. Ah. Oh, my prayer, save another time. Hey!
You are a shepherd, my Lord.
In the name of Jesus. If you enter the school of instructions, your life will be taken from you. That's when the culture of a spiritual man will be downloaded into your ecosystem. Sometimes God will tell you, you go to bed by 9, wake up by 3 a.m. and stand before me for 4 hours before you see the sun. It's not a doctrine. You have entered another school. That's how process is born. When you follow the school of instruction, you download mantles. The man that wielded mantles, this is the school where they got it from. Sometimes the Lord will tell you, every day of this year, stand before me for 10 hours. And then you ask yourself, what else will I do? He will seize your life so that he can choke you with his own. And when you do it, the moment consistency is built, you will discover that a scepter will begin to form in the spirit. Those are the things we call mantles. Mantles are aggregation of spiritual instructions that were kept. And when you do it and it becomes a culture, then you have built a foundation enough to host a mantle. So when you see spiritual men, their weight is their consecration. Because instruction will turn them to aliens of this world. That's why you can't just follow a man and inherit his spirit. What makes that man will fall on you. And when it happens, you become a conduit. Even if the man doesn't like it, that thing will naturally flow through you. It's an instruction. This is a college where spiritual men are born. Spiritual men are not born just because they came to church. Spiritual men are not born just because they had encounters. Spiritual men are born by instructions. Instructions hit them until the instruction will change their shape in the spirit. The instruction will change their ecosystem. There are certain men God gives instruction. He say, don't talk to more than 5 people in a day. When the man does that for 1 year, even when he forgets the instruction, it becomes difficult for him to talk. Because his mouth is a scepter. Anything he utters is a law. Please sit down. You are mighty on your throne. Give me that sound. When God begins to bring a man to the college of instruction, that man is said to have known the ways of God. In Psalm 103 verse 7, the Bible said, God made known his ways unto Moses. You don't know the ways of a spirit until you have obeyed his instruction for a long time. When you obey his instruction for a long time, you now begin to identify patterns. Those patterns, you pick them after following instruction for a long time. You now discover God told you to always wake up early. And then you did it for 1 month, for 2 months. You now realize that now that you wake up early, every time you step into a place, you arrest the atmosphere. You now know that standing before God early in the morning is a pattern for arresting atmospheres. Those things, you will find them when you follow aggregated instruction for a long time. And in Leviticus chapter 9 verse 6, Moses came to teach Israel one of the patterns. He said, this is what you must do. And he said, when you do it, the glory will appear. That means the glory of God don't come once in a while. The glory of God doesn't just appear because God felt like it. There is something you do that compels the glory to appear. Moses had followed this spirit for too long for him to be misguided. He now understands patterns. Moses can tell you what he will do in the wilderness, and the glory of God will appear visibly. Moses can tell you what he will do, that rain will fall. Moses can tell you what he will do, and he will take over a city. He has understood patterns because he has kept the instructions of this spirit for too long. When God wants to make you a spiritual man, he begins to traffic instructions in your direction. You are not a spiritual man because you are part of a church. You are a spiritual man because you receive divine instructions and you keep them. This is why Christianity is more personal than any other thing you do. Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. So in this school, scepters are given, authorities are granted, spiritual cultures are built, and the ways of God are understood. This is where true spiritual men are born. For you to survive in this school, you know, I told you, for you to survive in the school of encounters, you must know how to nurture bodies. For you to survive in the school of instruction, you must sustain a childlike heart. Because God will break you. Those instructions will break you 1,000 times. If you have not come to that point where you maintain a childlike heart, you can't pass this college. You will still be strong in your own ways. He will not be strong in you. For you to pass the school of encounters, you must become a master of nurturing bodies. For you to master or sustain the school of instruction, you must build a childlike heart. So, you don't know anything. It's what God tells you that you do. That's why I say a spiritual man is mad. You can come for a service and God say, don't talk. They will pray and go home. You'll be afraid in your heart. Lord, if I don't talk today, will the people come tomorrow? It's not about the people. Don't talk. Meanwhile, that day that you didn't talk, the people will be blessed much more than all the days you have been talking. Because he's the one that convicts the heart of men. It's not your English language. You are mighty on your throne. Classes in the school of process. I'm teaching this, you begin to check to find out where you are. Some of us have not even had any encounters to build any conviction in life. We are just looking for the easy way out. You will not go far. And for some of us, we have violated loads of instructions. Even me talking to you, some of the instructions God gave me, I'm still praying for him to help me. Meanwhile, my next level manifestation depends on them. God told me to pray for 10 hours every day. When I check my schedule, I say, is it 2 times a week? Is it 3 times in a week? Every day. How do they do that? Every day. If it's 4 times a week, we can understand. Every day. The Lord told me, only drink hot water. Those who are close to me know. Me, I'm addicted to cold water. When I drink, I do. You now come and hot water doesn't have taste in my mouth. How do I survive? Because there are many places, there are some sounds I hear in the spirit. I need a high pitch to crescendo into those sounds. Because there are glories I can't download, but the voice can't go far. Is it drink hot water? Meanwhile, he will be waiting until you obey. And if you don't, after a while, he will bring somebody else to replace you. So what I'm teaching you, this is how men grow. You violate instructions, you are in trouble. There are scepters that are waiting. God wants you to enter the knot and disarm the sons of the bondwoman. And the simple instructions he gave you, you can't keep them. And then we are wondering, Lord, when will you bring deliverance? We will pray around the country, but God is waiting for the men that can wield scepters. Because those scepters are the instruments of war. The third class in the school of process is the class of service. I want to reach at least 5. That's why I'm gathering myself, trying to curtail. I know we love power, we love intense atmosphere, but please take these instructions, go home with them. Your life will so change, you'll be amazed. The school of service. The school of encounter is the school of enrollment. That's when you are recruited into the army of God. The school of instruction is the class of wisdom and empowerment. The school of service is the school of securing divine inheritance or heritage. If you don't serve in this kingdom, there's no heritage for you. You may be anointed, but you'll discover that spiritual heritage is different from an anointing. There are many people today who are raising the dead every day. Nobody knows them. God can't entrust them to deal with governmental issues. God can't entrust them to transform life. They are highly anointed. But when they look around the body of Christ, nobody was qualified to serve. They look at this place, they list 7 errors. They come here, they list 13 errors. They come here, they list 9 errors. Everybody have errors. They are the only right people. And because they are the only right people, they now remain in the cave and raise dead men there. Meanwhile, what God wants to do with them needs to be transgenerational. But they cannot receive inheritance and they can't transfer. Because they didn't allow room for service. Jesus himself taught, he said, in this kingdom, the greatest is the servant of all. Spiritual heritage is only allocated to those who serve. In Genesis 27 verse 4. Here was Isaac wanting to bless his son. Why won't you just bless the young man? He said, go and get for me a savory venison. Let me eat that my soul will bless you. Service provoke the release of inheritance. And that's why when you are in a system, don't join politicians. Don't come to church and do politics. There's too much politics and gimmicks in the church today. Backbiting, hatred, malice, selfishness. Because people can't pay the price to serve and receive something. And because they can't pay the price, they want to use politics, sentiment to rise. Even if they give you the whole platform, if you don't have an inheritance, it will dry up. And the man who has an inheritance, send him to the wilderness. That wilderness will become a fruitful field. And the fruitful field will become a forest. Because it's not platform that makes men. It's God that makes men. And one of the things God sees to make a man is the texture of his heart in the place of service. When you serve, it gives God an opportunity to verify the quality of your heart. Because you can come to him and cry, he will not be moved. He say, I the Lord, I try the heart. Jeremiah 17 verse 10. I test the reins to give to every man as his way should be. And the way God tests the heart of people is when they are serving. Don't be that Christian that serves nobody. And you say, no, God is our Father. These structures are put in place by God himself. He said, without every contradiction, Hebrews 7:7, the less is blessed of the better. There are many men that have encountered Jesus today. He sent them to meet men. He said concerning Joshua, he said, Joshua is the servant of Moses. He said, Aaron is Moses' prophet. Today you serve people, and then mentors on Facebook will come and sit down with a big Bible that they don't read and start telling you and planting rebellion in the heart of young people who don't understand kingdom systems. You don't serve, how do you lead? I can tell you many promotions I received while serving, not while reading the Bible or meditating on scriptures. When I was serving in Christ Embassy 10 years ago, we bought Bibles and sent to India at the instruction of God's servant. We went into football fields. When we have sale day, we buy footballs with our money, take to the field, give the people to invite them to church, hoping that some of them will give their heart to Christ on Sunday. We bought Rhapsodies, put it. I served 12 years ago. All my NYC allowance, I gave it as partnership. When we came back, an instruction came from headquarters that every leader should go to foundation school again. I was a foundation school instructor. When we went to foundation school, on the day of graduation, our pastor forgot to submit my record. I had invited all my family members. I prayed for the PA to the governor. He was healed of back pain. All these dignitaries came to church, hoping to see the man of God shine. When they gave all the awards, my name was not mentioned. I almost fainted. My heart, it looked as if they hit my heart with an axe. At first, my eyeballs became heavy. I couldn't turn like this anymore. All my family members were there. Suddenly I discovered I wanted to turn. I couldn't turn. My eyeballs became heavy. I was sweating profusely. The whole suit was wet. Meanwhile, we were wearing academic gown, sitting in front. They called everybody, collected certificate. They forgot me. What? When I woke up, I came out with anger. The anger could cook yam and beans. Ooh! The Holy Ghost now told me, all the money you have in your pocket, go and give it to your pastor as seed. That was when tears dropped from my eyes. Tears. The tears just rolled down. When I went to give the seed, the senior pastor now said, what happened? That was when they discovered they forgot my name. He said, don't worry, in the evening we'll honor you. Senior pastor came with wisdom to manage the situation, but my heart had been chiseled. God knew there was a desire for show in my heart. So it wasn't about the souls. It was about inviting me as the best graduating student. And I will walk like Pastor Chris. God saw all of that and discovered this man is a showman. So they deliberately removed me. He dealt with my heart. This college, what it does is that it chisels your heart and reorder it so that your priorities will be right. Don't think people are doing what they are doing because they are quoting scriptures. There's a record of service. Their heart has been tried. So God can entrust them with things. Powers can be entrusted to them. You will preach better than them, but God gives them fame. And then you think fame is about going on YouTube. No. Facebook don't make men popular. It's a blast of a trumpet from heaven. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear me. It's a man whose heart has been tried. Most times when they invite us for service, we are waiting for hand clap. It won't take you anywhere. The scribes will be checking you in the secret to find out. And when your service is wrong, they will create situations that will make the thing affect your heart. I can tell you stories upon stories. The last place where I served, I was teaching in the Bible school. On the 12th of March, 2017, my brother that I lived with, mentored me for 10 years, took ill, and we rushed him to the hospital. That was the Sunday morning. I was to teach in the Bible school on Monday. And the Bible school is such that you teach from 8 to 3 p.m. from Monday to Thursday. And then Saturday, Friday you teach from 12 to 6. Saturday you teach from morning to evening. On Monday morning, my brother fell into coma. They connected tachycardia, or what do they call it? For tachycardia, for urinating, connected a pipe through his nose to feed him. I had to go to teach in the Bible school. I wasn't looking for the apostle to say, well done. I was teaching in that Bible school from Monday to Friday. Saturday, 3 p.m. on the 18th, he died. My impartation session was on Sunday. I still went there for the impartation service. When I was talking to them, I was crying. The people thought I was under the glory. You just wake up. You think people appear. We don't appear. That's why we don't have time for politics. When you serve, the jealousy of God will settle you. Even if the whole world turns against you, you have paid your due. When we wanted to start this work, some people said that me, I fraternized with a prophet, and the prophet is the one sponsoring the work. I looked at them and laughed. I said, I'm not a novice. No man can sponsor God's work. There's no prophet in any part of the world that gave me $1. I don't need a prophet to do what God sent me to do. If God can't sponsor it, then I won't do it. We paid our price. When we served with a perfect heart. I don't need to meet any mortal. There's no human being on earth that I asked for $1. When we started and the thing was booming, some people came and said that I started 2 years ago and hid it and then came back. Look at all my leaders. They all met me in December. The only person that knows me before now is Victor and my wife. When you want to do what God sent you to do, hair will break loose. That's why God gives you the opportunity to serve. Give your all. So that in the day of manifestation, you will live with an inheritance. No matter what happens, there will be a heritage for you. Service is God's strategy of giving an inheritance to a generation. There are too many people not serving. Nobody just appear. Everyone you see doing great things. There were times when they serve, and service is where you will be humbled. Sometimes you do your best, they come and rebuke you, and then you are wondering, but can't this person see that we're here for 7 hours? Is it because the sound went off that we are being rebuked? God is giving you an opportunity to texture your heart, because He knows there is a delicate imbalance of pride that will ruin you of destiny. He knows there is fear. So many things, garbages in your heart. God knows. And so God will tamper with your heart in the place of service, so that He will texture it, refine it enough to host His glory. All of these are not palatable, but this is how God forges His warriors. And when he shows them to a generation, they come with mantles of different flavor. Since 2019, I went to University of Ibadan to preach. And after preaching, powerful service, 3 sessions, there were miracles in the morning. We lost count. And when I wanted to go, the students escorted me to the car and said, God bless you, sir. Well, I was hoping they would give me my honorarium. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. I won't end again. I entered the car when I drove off. I carried my phone to call the president. What is going on here? The Holy Ghost now told me, from today, don't take honorarium from students. Meanwhile, 70% of my meetings were on campuses. Don't take honorarium. What does that mean? I'm trying to understand. What is the meaning of that? Please help me, Lord, to have understanding. I know you are an immortal. I don't know what you are saying. What does it mean? Not, don't take honorarium. Sorry, sir. What do you mean by that? To make things work, God began to open some little doors for me. And then senior ministers will invite me, fathers will invite me. When I come and preach, I want to leave. God will now say, don't take honorarium. Let them bless you. For 2 years, we were like wanderers. Meanwhile, it's inside these 2 years that I wanted to marry. I say, are you about commanding ravens to bring bread? Because I don't know what you are talking about. No prophetic word of consolation. But if you don't die to money, a day will come, the princes will bargain your ministry with money. So there are many things he does in your heart. It's in the school of service that God has the opportunity to travel deep into your soul. He will give you instructions that will look unbearable. Don't worry. You are learning how to be perfected to bring an acceptable offering to God. And if these things happen to you when you are young, thank God. We follow this path like the path of the eagle. And we kept growing with God when we are about pioneering this work. I told them, don't worry, everything will be provided. We had budgets in millions. Millions! It's not a joke. When you see sound and light like this, it's not prayer that brought it. It's money that brought it. Budgets in millions. What do we do? And you know, God, I can't sponsor ministry. You have to do it. The morning of the inauguration, I was invited to preach somewhere by one of the mothers of the land. I said, no, I don't preach on my inaugural service. Why would I do that? He said, do it for honor. I said, okay, I will go for honor's sake. I went to preach. When I finished preaching, 2 services, woman of God came up. Mothers, I'm beginning to suspect that mothers are better than fathers. I'm just suspecting. I think there's a motherly dimension of God that the Bible didn't capture. Mothers are better. Mama, thank you. I think that's the Holy Spirit. Mama came up and prayed for me, laid hands on me, and the next thing she said, let's bless this young man. He's about to start a walk. I was so ashamed. I said, no, that's not why I came. Please, let's bless this man. Ah! I didn't know what, it looks as if the ground should open for me to enter. When I came out, they gave me honorarium. I said, I don't take honorarium from fathers. We fought until they threw the thing inside my car. Meanwhile, somebody who just came to the service was blessed. He wrote a check of 1 million. He said, he blessed me. They gave me 2 million for honorarium. When I left service, mama sent 1 million. After 24 hours, the money they gathered, they sent 7.7 million. From one service, I came with 14 million. Meanwhile, some people came and said, I was asking for money. I said, I know God. I didn't appear here. I grew to this place. I know how God was. God sponsors his assignment. One service. I didn't say I did 3 days in a conference. One morning service. I came back with 40 million. That's over $28,000. Because when you serve, God, the jealousy of God will reward you. He has checked your heart and he has seen that what you are looking for is not money. So the things people pray for, you will discover without praying, they happen to you naturally. I came back, I said, what do you need? Okay, buy this, buy that, buy that. I was talking like a king. Many areas of service were speaking. When you are serving, it will become the reason why you will step into rest in your family. People are crying, there's no food. If there's no food, ravens will bring you bread. You won't know how. But the God you serve in secret, his jealousy will defend you in the open. This is what they should teach believers. It's not just come and prophesy over you. You are blessed. This week you are blessed. Those things are good. But there's a realm of dominion God wants to bring you into. For you to walk in that dominion is service that will take you there. Most of us have absconded from service because it was difficult. It is in the difficult ground that your heart is tested. Don't just enjoy service when it's simple. When they say, come and lead praise or lead worship because you are ministering to people, you are serving with all your heart. A day will come, they will tell you to go and wash the toilet. Don't enjoy the one on the altar more than the one behind. Because it's the one that is difficult that God uses to veto your conscience and your heart. And when it checks your heart, your reward system will be directly proportional to the texture of your heart. Because the things that come out of your heart, they are aromas to the heavens. When we talk process, we say it passionately. Because this is where strong men are born. And if there are no strong men, God will suffer in a generation. There will be too much gap. And the enemy will have too much harvest. Your destiny is too big. You can't take the risk of not serving before you appear. There are too many battles. There are too many dark places that hate your rising. You didn't do anything for it. You didn't offend anybody. But the wickedness of man and spirit will bring you into a battle you never planned for. But the services you render years before you came to the battlefield will rise up as a defense. When you serve, many systems are open to you. One is called the system of faithfulness. The system of faithfulness is what gives God the excuse to reward you and to bless you more than you deserve. The law may be that when you give, he's giving back to you. And the measure with which you give is what you receive. But because you were faithful, God will go beyond the law. Because faithfulness is an excuse that God has to reward a man and to bless him beyond his faith. The second system you learn in service is humility. Humility is what gives you favor with God and with man. You say, I resist the proud, but I give more grace to the humble. There are many things God wants you to do that your faith can't carry. But in service, if humility it becomes part of your garment, you will discover that much more than you deserve. You will enter a city, people just love you. And people are just blessing you. You are wondering, why? Your humility is an alarm system. Help this man. Bless this man. Increase this man. He said, by humility, more grace is granted to a man. The third system you enter is honor. Because when you serve people and serve God, you are honoring them. And what honor does for you is that it allows you a legal license to spend from another man's resource. And so sometimes because you serve the man, God will take his honor and put on your life. Did you not read about Joshua? He said, I will take the honor that is upon Moses and I will put on your life. When men see you, they will see you in the stature of that man. You do what everybody else is doing, but they are responding to you like that man. Imagine if you are a pastor in Living Faith, and then you come to a place, they receive you as Bishop Oedipo. It's a system of honor. It allows you to spend from the economy of another man. And then the last is the system of cheerfulness. Cheerfulness brings you into rest. Because cheerfulness is a dimension of joy. And joy is strength. Say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You come into rest. All of these allocations are procured in service. When you master the class of service, then you enter the fourth class. It's the class of self-denial. Wait, what's the time? Ah! We're out of time. Oh, Jesus Christ. The school of process. I wanted to ascend in the fifth class. Because after the class of self-denial, you now come into the class of warfare. If you don't fight in this kingdom, you can't be a ruler. In this kingdom, we fight. What truly establishes a man are the battles and the conquest that he has to his name. It is the credit of warfare that makes you a force in this kingdom. Everything you learn will count for nothing until you have fought the battles of Elohim. There are many battles God will introduce you to. When you fight those wars, you become a captain, a champion in the arena of God. When you master the class of battle, then you enter the class of glory. In the class of glory, you rest. Anything you say happens. Have you seen men that some of the things you fasted for 1 year, they crossed their leg? I was in Umar of Bai's meeting, and he said, Lord, now taught 400 people. And people were dropping like mango fruit. While I was looking in bewilderment, he didn't stop there. He now punished me further. He said, the reason I give numbers is so that we can manage it. If I want power to move in a meeting, sometimes I have to ascend with prayer or ascend in worship, or utterance must be given to me. A man came, he just crossed his leg, put his hand on the pulpit and said 400 people. And he didn't stop there. He sounded proud, but that's a man walking in glory. It's the class where he is that determines the authority level he commands. God is looking for men, but the kind of men God uses are the men that he has been processed. They have been processed. They don't appear. They are made. He said, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. I will make you. Men don't appear. Men are made. They are forged. And the furnace that forges men is the school of process. I was teaching you last week and I told you how that intercession alone, if God allows you to journey through the corridor of prayer, there's a point you come, you become an intercessor. You pick the burdens of God and you beg it in a civilization or in a territory. And then you grow from an intercessor, you become a guardian. A guardian is a man that God entrusts with the heritage of a territory. Nothing happens in that territory until that man allows it. And that's why Paul could not enter Damascus until Ananias permitted him. Because that one is a guardian. Anything happens, there's a level you get to as you grow with God. You will determine what happens in Abuja. You are not just part of the many pastors in Abuja. When you come and you speak, you are giving breaking news. Many other people will hear you to know what God is saying because you are a guardian. Anything that wants to happen in that territory, you give permission for it. And then there's a level you come to, I say you become a custodian. A custodian is a keeper of the secrets of God. That man knows what to do for you to be blessed. That man knows what to do for your church to grow. That man knows what to do for your business to prosper. And I say when you live there, you become a watcher. A watcher is a judge in the spirit. If he says you are blessed, you are blessed. If he says you are cursed, you are cursed. You know, there are many people who say, we don't curse. That cursing is wrong. The spirit of grace doesn't curse. But the Holy Ghost can curse. And if the Holy Ghost moves through a man, he can kill and he can make alive. As a believer in the dispensation of grace, we don't kill. We only bless. But the Holy Ghost can release death as a verdict. If he pleases so, because he killeth and he maketh alive. When a man becomes a watcher, the judgments of God are allocated to that man. So when the Holy Ghost wants to judge, he finds that man. If that man speaks, it will happen. The church will remain vulnerable until watchers arise. If watchers are not born, we will walk in fear and we will live in fear. The government can come and they can say whatever they want and nobody can defend them. Nobody can defend the heritage of God. Nobody can say restore. until watchers are born. If you study Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, when the king was about to be judged, it was watchers that brought the judgment. And they said, this is the decree of the watchers. The verdict of the holy God. So the watchers say the judgments of God. You know, when Jesus was denied entering what's the name of the city now? Samaria. James and John said they will release fire like Elijah. And he said, you know not the spirit that you are made of. The lesson Jesus was teaching them is not that the Holy Ghost is against fire. The lesson he was teaching them is that you don't judge out of anger. It's not your flesh that determines the judgment you bring. It is the Holy Ghost that determines the judgment. If it's the Holy Ghost judging, you can give access because they were actually judges. If it was impossible to bring down fire, they wouldn't have said it. And that's why when Ananias violated the body, Peter said, why has Satan entered your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? The man fell and died. Judges will rise that can bring judgment over darkness and over territories. The reason process is enacted is because there are many weapons that are dormant in you. Some of you, your tongue is an instrument of blessing, but you have not worked with the Holy Ghost enough to activate your tongue. Some of you, your tongue is an instrument of judgment. You look at yourself, you say, but I'm 17 years old. The business we are talking about here have no regard for age. It has regard for the depth you have traveled with that eternal spirit. Some of you at the age of 17, you will know God so deeply that when God wants to affect the territory, he will invoke you. And then while you are worshiping and singing, the moment you start crying, an anointing will fall upon you. And on the strength of that anointing, whatever you say comes to pass. People will now discover that there are strange things happening in the church. And these 17-year-old people will become so ranky that the demonic realm will be afraid of them. Have you seen how demons and witches operate? Sometimes when you go to a demonic coven, the queen or the queen mother is 13 years old. And then you are wondering, how can this child be their leader? They don't function with chronological age there. They function with the depth and degrees of intimacy and wickedness that your heart can carry. The same thing happens in light. You are not a vagabond. You are not useless. You are not hopeless. The only thing is, how far are you willing to travel? For some of you, the Holy Ghost is putting burdens in your heart because there is an encounter that should activate your ordination, but you have not given room to it. For some of you, you have had this encounter since you were a child, and you have told many people how many angels have appeared to you. You have told many people how that Jesus has appeared to you, but the instructions he gives you, you have not kept them. Some of you, it's as simple as fasting once in a week. Some of you, it's as simple as praying at night. I know it's difficult because myself have failed in some of them. But start and see how grace will help you. As you wake up that night to pray, you slept off. Tomorrow, don't say I can't. Stand up again. Pray from 12 to 6 a.m. You woke up by 12. You pray till 6 to 12:30. You slept. No problem. The next day, try it again. When you pray, maybe the next day you would pray till 12:15. No problem. The most important thing is that you have obeyed. Because when the angels check, they will check that you obeyed. And then one day, while you are praying, light will come into your room. And you will now begin to pray from the economy of that light. And as you pray, you will not just pass 6 a.m. in the morning. You will go past 9. You will go past 10. You will go past 12. And you are wondering, how come I'm able to pray for 11 hours? Because when God gave that instruction, there was a grace released from heaven to make it happen. Your obedience is what will make you collide with that grace. And sometimes, the reason God is even telling you to pray is not to make you an apostle. It's because there is a wisdom in the economic world that he wants to reveal to you. The power to get wealth. There's a secret he wants to give to you about leaders and leadership. But it will take an encounter. It will take a move of the spirit for you to get there. Never violate these things. When you understand process as one of the pathways for growth in this kingdom, you will give your all. God is not looking for pastors. He's not looking for apostles. He's not looking for prophets. He's not looking for teachers. He's not looking for evangelists. All of those things are dimensions and tributaries. He's looking for men that have matured to sonship. And in that maturity, he can give them an apostolic assignment. He can give them a prophetic assignment. He can give them an evangelical assignment. The beautiful thing is that God is not asking you to appear. He has introduced you to a process. Where are you in the part of process? Are you on the mountain of encounters? I know you have not gone to a Bible school. I know you have not read all the theology that needs to be read. But where are you in the corridor of process? Are you at that level where God is putting a burden for prayers? Are you at that level where God is putting a burden for the word? Are you at that level where God is putting a burden for fasting? Or have you received your own encounter already, but you are violating instruction because you don't know you are on a journey? It doesn't stop with the encounter. An angel can appear to you and you amount to nothing. I saw Jesus at the age of 7. An angel can appear to you. Jesus himself can appear to you. It will amount to nothing. Except as you follow the instructions of the Spirit. And when God gives you instructions, he gives you instructions because he knows you can keep it. He knows. If you have journeyed into instruction, has he introduced you to service? How well are you serving? With what heart posture are you serving? Are you serving with all your heart? Your greatness in this kingdom depends on it. And if you are serving with all your heart, have you come to the place of self-denial? Where you know that this thing is not about you. It's about Jesus and his kingdom. Have you come to that point where you are not doing it for what there is for you? But the beautiful thing is they have not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. If you know self-denial, you will also know abundance. Because the more you deny self, the more God will become your sufficiency. And then have you come to warfare? What are the battles you are fighting? On Tuesday, I will talk about warfare. So I will tell you the dynamics of battle. There are 12 dimensions of warfare that God will introduce us to in order to help our maturity process. There are certain warfares that you have nothing to do with it. You are just present. That's why you are part of it. The first dimension of warfare is called the galactic warfare. Things happen in the heaven because you are on earth, you are a victim. Abraham became a victim because he was on earth. Lucifer fought in the heavens with Michael, but he was sent to the earth and he said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. So you have to prepare for warfare, whether you know about it or not, because the battles will choose you. You won't choose the battle. Yeah. Can we bow our heads and pray now? Some of us, we have been in one class for too long. Since you had an encounter in the year 1995, you have not moved. Every reference of God to your sight and know is the encounter you had in 1995. Come on, brother. It's beyond having a vision in the spirit. There are many people that had an encounter just last year. Today, God has already promoted them to take territories. How come you are still on that mountain for the past 20 years? Some of us, we have moved from the mountain of encounters, but we have not been able to keep any instruction. Revival is not just about shouting. It's an energy in your spirit to follow God and to keep peace with the spirit. Some of us, we have been keeping the instructions, but we have not been able to serve. And God is saying, when will you allow me to teach your hands to fight and your fingers to war? When will you ask me? You need to make a commitment tonight. A commitment that you will move from where you are to where you ought to be. I don't know where you are. You know where you are. But you are going to make a commitment this night in the next 2 minutes and tell the Lord, by the help of your grace, I will migrate from where I am to where I ought to be. It may be at the level of an encounter. It may be at the level of instructions.
You may be at the level of service and you are performing, but you are telling God, help me now and I will go for it. Because my generation depends on me. My generation is looking into me. I can't afford to pray.
In the name of Jesus. They all know.
Some of us here are worshippers. That's the layer God wants me to speak over tonight. There is something in our voice that should bring healing to the nations. But our vessels are not pure. We can't keep the demands of the covenant. Meanwhile, our generation is waiting for us. There's a sound that needs to come out of our spirit to heal the nations. But there is too much violation. And God is saying, come up hither. I want to show you great and mighty things. Some of us are ministers. We should bring the witness of healing. We should bring the witness of transformation. We should bring the witness of prosperity. But the authority is not there. Because we have not embraced process. And we are not journeying with God. Do you know that the person who died in the hospital yesterday did not just die because of sickness? That person died because the deliverer had not risen. Do you know the lady that committed suicide yesterday because of heartbreak probably committed suicide because the man that should bring the witness of righteousness have not risen? Do you know that the person that died of hunger yesterday or the person that died of frustration yesterday died because an economic apostle have not risen? Are you the one to come? Or do we expect another? Are you the one to come? Or do we expect another? How long will our generation wait? How long will eternity remain buried? Because you don't want God to find expression to your vessel. Do you want to ask something now to help you? God is available. Ask him to help you in the next 1 minute. Ask him to help you. Ask him to help you. And you will find help tonight. You will find help tonight. As you leave this meeting tonight, the hand of the Lord will come with you. Every area of weakness has made it impossible for you to align with the commands of the Holy Spirit. Receive Christ to walk in it. Receive empowerment to walk in it. Every permission that has been held from you because you have not moved to the next class, in the name of Jesus, receive speed and capacity. Step into that dimension. We are not victims. We are not helpless people looking for help. What you think you are looking for, you may be the solution that your generation is looking for in that area. And everything that God has raised there to be a solution for that you don't look like, in the name of Jesus, receive Christ to become it. Receive Christ to become it. Some of you are supposed to be helpers in the meeting, but yourself, you are looking for help. Some of you are supposed to be healers by the Spirit, but yourself, you are looking for healing. Some of you are supposed to be a help for a generation. For yourself, you are still hopeless. In the name of Jesus, under the weight of this instruction and atmosphere, receive Christ to become what you are created for. That area where you seek help, you don't only receive help, but you become the help that the Lord is looking for. In the name of Jesus. There are most of you that people should come to for direction, but yourself, you are seeking wisdom. I speak over your tonight. Your spirit is open to the frequency of wisdom and understanding. No more confusion. No more hopelessness. No more confusion. In the name of Jesus, receive wisdom. Thank you, Father. There are some of you that should awaken here to serve God, but even coming to God's presence, it's still a party. You find it difficult to do the things of the Spirit. Meanwhile, in the Spirit, you are a captive.
I speak over you today. Everything that has made it difficult for you to serve God and to serve God with joy, I command these mountains to be lifted right now in the name of Jesus. Receive this fire. Receive this fire. Receive this hunger. Receive this hunger. Become radical about God in the name of Jesus. For most of you here, that the devil have distracted with needs, their legitimate needs for money, for food, for health, legitimate needs that we cannot push aside. If there be any mountain before you, if there be any challenge, if there be any need, before the next service on Tuesday, I command those mountains to be leveled and I command abundance for you. In the name of Jesus, if you require healing, take divine health. If you require money, take prosperity. If you require doctor, take influence. In the name of Jesus, receive more than you ever ask for. 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 In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As you depart from here today, before you return for the next service, you will receive an encounter. An encounter with the Lord. An encounter with the Lord. An encounter with some disciples. An encounter with the man that you chose as Tony. In the name of Jesus. At least 20 of you here tonight, you will receive extraordinary favor. Favor that will give to you what you could not have in the home of Master. Something you don't deserve, yet you require, it comes to you now in the name of Jesus. Not less than 20 persons. You will step into a testimony that will be too loud for you to testify just standing. You will dance, you will celebrate, and you will jubilate in the name of Jesus. I'm saying money, literally money, come to people. Literally, money that people work for. I'm saying money, come to people, literally, by the Spirit of favor. In the name of Jesus, the same thing that God gives us to spoil the Egyptian. Take it right now. Like a father.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website orocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.